Namaste and welcome to Vedanta, the River of Wisdom podcast, a podcast that brings to you the ancient flowing tradition of Vedanta, which reveals that you are pure being having a human experience. I'm your guide by the side, Swamini B. Let us flow, you and I, on the banks of the River of Wisdom. The deer was running to quench her thirst. She was delighted on seeing the pond. She ran towards it. Yes, her estimate was correct. The water should have been here, but no, all that was there was glistening sand. Exhausted, she looked up. Ah, she spotted another pond at a distance. Gathering her breath, she started running slowly. Picking up speed, she reached the spot where the water had appeared. No signs of even a little water. Only the sand continued to glisten. She collapsed in exhaustion. Our quest for perfection is much like the thirsty deer who is tricked by the perfect mirage of water, the perfect partner, the perfect job, the perfect child, and so on. The quest for the perfect partner. I don't know if such a creature exists. Sure, almost everyone wants a partner with desirable qualities. The only problem is that our idea of perfection is a shifting one. You finally think you found someone who ticks all the boxes and marry the person only to find that it was not what you wanted. You wanted a person who was strong, independent, and did his own thing. And now you are upset because he is strong, independent, and does his own thing. Our idea of perfection is just an idea, a projection on reality. The quest for the perfect job. Again, I do not think such a job exists. Sure, in a good enough job, you would get a decent remuneration, a bonus, maybe even stock options, a good work environment, opportunities for growth, an okay boss. And that's good enough. In fact, that's great. But our relentless search for the unspoken mirage of perfection in our job continues. The quest for having a perfect child. It almost sounds like a factory for product development, and we can never really tell when the project is finally complete. And the list goes on. The perfect wedding planned until COVID happened. The perfect body. The quest for the perfect life. The quest for the perfect dog and dog trainer. And even the perfect guru. In the name of being aspirational and doing our best, some of us have an obsessive quest for perfection, which leaves us dissatisfied and never thinking that our efforts are enough. Perfect, a word that perfectly fits in with its preening self-importance and makes things or people associated with it worthy. If perfect means having all desirable qualities, then yes, it's aspirational and worth striving for. But perfect is used in the sense of complete and absolute, and that's when it becomes a sword hanging over our heads. Perfect is a search for the infallible, a search that should put an end to my seeking but never does. The truth is, nothing can be perfect. Nothing can be optimized and suitable for everyone. What do we see when we see a small part of the ecosystem of nature? The mountain river flows continuously, nourishing the trees and plants on the sides of the river. The waters are clear, the crickets are chirping. Having emerged from their cozy homes, the earthworms are crawling. Moss is growing on some of the stones. The ants are busy as ever, taking things to their anthill. The sun is shining, the wind is blowing. The branches of the trees reach out in their embrace towards the sunlight. There is a storm brewing in the distance. Soon, thunderous rain clouds gather over the stream and there is a continuous downpour. The strong gusts of wind loosen the soil and a few trees get uprooted. The rain clouds pass away. The next day the sun is shining. A few crows are eating a dead rat. Life ebbs away from some of the branches and leaves that are uprooted. They will wither and decay and in time become manure, enriching the soil. This ecosystem of nature, is it perfect? It must be, since it is teeming with life in all its chirping and gurgling forms. This tiny ecosystem is linked with our ecosystems. Life and death, growth and decay, flow and stagnation, movement and stillness, light and shadow, sounds and silence, abundance and scarcity. All of it coexists where one is not opposed to the other. It is what it is, and all these ecosystems sustain us. We do not impose our ideas of perfection on the ecosystem of nature to be disappointed later. We see them for what they are and are at home with their apparent paradoxes. Can we extend this vision to the way we see ourselves and our lives? Then maybe we can be at home with our so-called imperfections. I'm not arguing for making excuses for our stupidities and neuroses, but perhaps there is room for all colors and not just the blinkers-on view of the perfect colors for my life. What is truly perfect in this whole wide world is Bhagavan, because only He has all the bhagas or virtues in absolute measure. Better than perfect is seeing Bhagavan's order that sustains all the laws which are impartial, predictable, consistent, and offer us much security. If we drop the idea of perfect in our roles and the various conditions we traverse, we can relax in the diversity and the richness of all that exists in our worlds. We can shrug off the burden of being the perfect mother or father and focus on being good enough, doing what we can, knowing that every child has their own karmic journey. We get to play an important role that evokes our deeply loving selves, which is a reward in and of itself. We no longer need to carry the weight of having a perfect partnership and can focus on having a good enough relationship that contributes to the other's happiness, care, support, and growth. We no longer need to be the perfect daughter-in-law, knowing that what we do may be good enough for the different situations, but not good enough for the whole family's approval, and that is okay. We stop chasing the mirage. In fact, the word for doing our best in Sanskrit is kaushalam, kushalasya bhavam, a life competence of doing what we can as our contribution towards dharma. Kaushalam is not an attempt to control the situation, but rather an offering of one's contribution, endowed with the shaktis that one has, which makes us phenomenally powerful. We no longer have the pressure to do the perfect karma, because no karma is perfect or absolute by any standards. And that includes religious karma too. I repeat, no karma is perfect. Whether you are a work professional, a mother, a father, a daughter, a sister, a friend, or whichever role, any karma is good enough for the results you have in mind. Sometimes the results can be way beyond expectation and we are thankful. But that's it. Any karma is limited and hence it offers limited karma phala, which is enjoyed in the form of punya for a limited period of time. Sure, karma does move things forward, but in the case of karma, conditions apply. For the pure being that is you, which is the absolute, unchanging and timeless, nothing conditions you, and hence the feverish urgency for perfection drops off. And by the way, this podcast is by no means perfect, nor do I have these aspirations. Every week, I have the joy and privilege of sharing some insights from our glorious Vedic tradition. And that is good enough for me. You matter. Your life matters. What you do with your life matters. Thanks for listening. If you found this episode offering some insight, I do hope you will consider sharing this with your family or friends or even on social media. For more, you can log on to discoveratma.com or even check out our YouTube channel by the same name. I love hearing from you. And if you have a question or a reflection or a comment, the ID to write to is swaminiji@discoveratma.com. That's swaminiji@discoveratma.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week.